Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Hello, pod people, and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I am Chris, and this week I'm joined by Dan.
Hello.
And Gav.
Yo.
And this week we're going to kick off by talking about some award stuff.
Yeah.
Some movie awards. So over the weekend we had the BAFTAs were handed out. Did either of you guys watch it?
I didn't, actually. I couldn't
no,
find. Did not watch the BAFTAs.
Me neither. And I'm the movie editor.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of over award ceremonies. And plus, they're shown on a delay on the BBC. So
right.
2 hours before, you know who's won anyway if you're on Twitter.
Is that real?
Yeah, yeah. It's a crazy thing that they do. They ask people not to reveal them. But
you see all the winners. If you're on Twitter, you see all the winners.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do they do that?
By the time it's televised, they're all having dinner. Because I've been to the BAFTAs as a guest, and that's how it works.
Why?
I don't know. It's a very backwards way of doing things.
Because like I watch the Oscars every year, and like that's part of the Oscars.
They're on a 2 day delay. The Oscars have happened 2 days before.
But like with that, you're sort of like it's like a sports event. You're up to date. You're like you know on Twitter and stuff like that. Like I watched Super Bowl like last weekend, and like it's the same kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like that. Why would you do that?
It's a very backwards way of doing things.
Is it so obviously, because people swear or something like that?
No, I don't know, because then you can just be on a 30-second delay. I think it's a much harder thing to broadcast live.
Right.
And they've just not caught up with the world. I mean, they've been doing it like that since before Twitter, it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
But it's... So anyway, we're not here to debate whether that's a good idea or not.
It's happened, it's gone, and I didn't even watch it, so...
It's definitely a bad idea. The big winners were The Revenant and Mad Max Fury Road. Revenant got 5, a lot of the big ones. Mad Max predictably got a lot of the technical awards.
Yeah. But Star Wars won visual effects, beat Mad Max to visual effects,
Star Wars won visual effects, deservedly.
Mm.
And John Boyega was a BAFTA rising star, that very strange category involving people that have been around for a while.
Ages. As much as I love John Boyega, I would have loved to have seen Taron Egerton get there.
Belle Powley, Brie Larson, Dakota Johnson. Like, Brie Larson's been around for such a long time.
Yeah.
It's a weird award. Belle Powley, I actually saw The Diary of a Teenage Girl.
Right.
It is brilliant, and she's terrific. But man, that is a rough watch. I thought it was going to be a fun coming-of-age movie.
It is not.
It's not that.
Diary of a Teenage Girl, yeah.
It's not. It's a very good film, though.
It's not like Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Because I like that's really good.
No, or How to Eat Worms, whatever that one was called.
Yeah.
So I'm going off on one there. So Oscars are fast approaching, and BAFTA is normally a pretty good indicator of what's going to happen.
Mm.
So do we think this is it now? Revenant's a shoo-in?
No, I don't think so. I think usually you're right, but I think because The Big Short is so American-focused and is such like a huge like American ridiculous spectacle, I can kind of see the BAFTAs not going in favour of that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, even though they are generally quite a good thing.
Also, historically, the BAFTAs not big fans of paedophilia.
No.
Like, they
what are you saying the Oscars are?
I'm not saying they're not.
And you're referring, of course, to the film Spotlight, in case people...
I was on about Spotlight, of course. Spotlight, I think that's one of my favourite films. I only saw that a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Mm. Mm.
It's great. I thought it was a great film.
I did the write-up for the BAFTA brochure about Spotlight.
Oh, nice.
So I'm hoping that didn't affect it, and that's why he didn't win. Because I've thought from day one that The Revenant has been a shoo-in, and I still think it will. And the Oscars, it can be a lot to do with momentum as well. And with the BAFTA win, like, they've got quite short memories, I think, people in Hollywood, and they're still voting for the Oscars now.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, that one won.
Yeah.
But interestingly, like, this is what's won the other indicators. So the Writers Guild of America gave their two big awards to Spotlight and The Big Short.
Okay.
So Spotlight is obviously original screenplay. Big Short is adapted screenplay. Mm-hmm. And they both won the screenplay awards at the BAFTAs. Producers Guild, which is actually the best indicator of all of them.
Okay.
Like, I think like 70, at least 75% of the time, whoever wins that wins Best Picture. Big Short. So that would go against what I'm saying, but support your theory. Mm-hmm. And Golden Globes gave Revenant Picture, Director, Actor. And the comedy drama, they gave it to The Martian, which, good as it is, won't be in the running.
No.
So it looks like a three-way race at the moment. My one question is that if Spotlight and The Big Short will cancel each other out a little bit.
Split the vote.
They're quite political dramas. I mean, I think they're both great. I preferred Spotlight. I think you preferred The Big Short, didn't you?
I love them both. I think they're great films. But.
I think Big Short just...
Yeah.
Did Birdman win last year in the Oscars? Yeah,
it did.
Do you not think that factors in slightly? Where, like, people are... Like you say, you know, to use a sports analogy, when, you know, a referee gives a decision and he thinks he might have, like... People try to even stuff out.
Yeah, yeah. But also, all it sort of... I think that... All the publicity it's going to get around DiCaprio as well, I think will factor into things, because it's as sure a thing as you can get at the Oscars this year is him winning Best Actor. And then I think off the back of that, it might continue that momentum and that groundswell.
I see what you mean by momentum, because the story is all about Leonardo DiCaprio this year. So I guess if all people are seeing is Leonardo DiCaprio, when they come to be voting, they're thinking, right, what's the best picture? Oh, the one that everyone's talking about. But they're not talking about it because it's a good film. They're just talking about it because he's like... He should definitely win this year.
He gets inside an animal and sleeps there.
Exactly, what? Which we've never seen before in a film.
It's interesting. I mean, have you seen The Revenant?
Yes.
And you've seen it as well.
Yeah.
I think we all liked it without loving it. Would that be fair to say?
I think it's the most easy film this year to appreciate and celebrate without enjoying it.
Yeah.
Or liking it. Or...
That's the thing. I don't think I enjoyed it. I felt absolutely nothing for any of the characters. And I think we both thought the same thing. About 25 minutes before the end, I just remember thinking... I'll never watch this film again. Is that good?
I think it's a pretty cold film for something that is so emotionally charged. Like, I do not need an invitation to, like, well up at a film, especially stuff involving fathers and their kids. And I actually felt quite flat at the end.
That's a criticism that's been levelled at a lot of his films, is that they're cold and, you know, and it's a kind of Kubrickian way where you can't really... it's the best, one of the best looking films I've ever
seen. Beautiful,
And considering it's all real, you know, I always say that Prometheus, I think, is the best looking film I've seen, but that's all CG. This is.
And the conditions of its production sound insane. I was.
Oh, really? Is there a story behind that? They never mention it, do they? Did DiCaprio struggle?
I saw, he was in the interview with Tom Hardy, talks about it. He's just like.
I've avoided every interview about it because I just feel.
Tom Hardy's one is actually quite good on it. Like, somebody was interviewing him on a camera phone and he's just really honest about it. He's like, I have no idea what's happening. He's like, it's awful. It sounds like, as a actor, it's pretty crazy. Like, each day you'd be getting your script for that afternoon,
right?
And if you don't get it in the 1 hour window because of light, you have to stay around at that camp for another day to shoot that scene, and they would keep doing that until they got the scene, and then they would have to hike 10 miles to get to the next location.
It's crazy. And yet at the same time, I'm never ever feeling sorry for Leonardo DiCaprio or Tom Hardy or anyone. Try working down a mile, Leo.
That's the thing, like, when I was watching that, like, I don't care that it was hard to film. Like, I just didn't feel anything at all by the end of it. And I just thought, meh, that was good, but I don't think it's a great film.
All right, so what is your vote? What do you want to win Best Picture, and what do you think will win?
What else is up?
Martian.
Yeah, Big Short, Spotlight, Room, I think. Room's
right,
up. I think
okay,
Room's
yeah. up. Carol, is Carol up?
Brooklyn? I don't think Carol got it. Brooklyn did. Yeah. Carol didn't.
I'm going to say Big Short.
You want to win and you think will win.
I want it to win and I think it will win.
I want Big Short to win. I have a funny feeling Spotlight will win.
Okay, and I want Spotlight to win, but I think The Revenant will win.
Ooh.
Interesting. So we will see on end of February when I'm right and these two guys are wrong. Right, next up, Dan.
Yeah, we finally got a Batman v Superman trailer that I think most of us pretty liked.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
What? I kind of liked the one before until the end.
No, that's quite a big part of that. Like, this one, very much, like, we're entering a month to go until this movie comes out. And they did the smart, canny thing when it comes to marketing. You put a lot of Batman in it.
Yeah.
The first part of the trailer is almost, you know, a scene of Batman entering the building. And it's brilliant. And actually, when I'm talking about how much I like the trailer, I'm talking about how much I like that scene in particular.
Yeah.
I was thinking about seeing Batman fight in other films. Sometimes he's really wooden. Even in the Nolan movies, they use Krav Maga and wrote down the kind of Israeli martial art kizi. Yeah. And it's good and it's effective and, like all the Nolan films, very grounded. Mm. Whereas in this sequence, he looks like... He moves like Batman in the comics.
Yeah.
Or in Arkham Knight. He's fast. He's powerful. The way he takes people down, it's just so dynamic and fearless.
Yeah.
That's Batman. He's one of the, even that snatch looks the best, one of the best Batman action sequences I've seen. And just when he like hits the guy so hard, his whole body flips around. Like, but that's not the problem with this movie. I have no doubt the action is going to be spectacular. That was never a qualm or a reservation about Snyder's Batman v Superman movie.
No.
They've left out the stuff that might be the problem, haven't they? Maybe, potentially, in terms of who the villain is at the end of the film.
Yeah.
That took a lot of criticism after the last trailer. And lo and behold, doesn't really appear in this one.
I'll take that back.
Are they cutting him out of the movie? Quick,
Jason. Some guy who spent like 2 years animating it, going, oh, fuck.
It is strange, isn't it? Because you think, like, after that trailer, everyone was like, what the hell is this? And then, as you say, it doesn't feature at all in the third one. Like, what is this film? Like, what is going on in this film? I still have no idea. Like, which is kind of why I'm so excited about it.
That's what they're asking him every day.
Yeah. We get a couple of lines from Wonder Woman as well.
Yeah, like she has an accent as well. Mm.
Yep. Played by a woman who I really don't think can act. So I'm quite intrigued to see how that's going to go because not only is she in this, but obviously she's got to carry her own movie in a year or two's time.
Yeah.
And, I'm going purely based on her performances in the Fast and Furious movies.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? She's fantastic in those.
Well, she looks fantastic, but
no, she's good.
When you're the worst actor in that group of people, when there's not a lot of great acting to go around.
Yeah.
Well, that's just my opinion. What's going on with the bath? On this.
It's Superman getting in with Lois Lane.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sexy time bath.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But Clark rather than...
Clark, yeah. Clark. She knows. She knows who he is.
Yeah. How big is that bath?
Don't know. He's going to drown her. He's going to squash her in it.
Have you ever tried to get in the bath with someone?
What's that scene? Like, going...
He's massive.
That's the thing. Yeah. You got this thing of like baths being this like really romantic thing. And then have you ever... tried to do it? It's just horrible.
Horrible, yeah.
It's terrible, unless you've got the world's biggest bath. He's a massive man.
Yeah.
Also, don't put that much water in if two people are getting in. Archimedes would have told you this. That water level is going to rise significantly.
Not if one's made of steel as well.
What is it with these DC movies? Enchantress is in the bath with loads of, like, foliage.
It's the year of the bath.
Yeah.
Maybe they had a job lot.
I think it sold us on the movie now. I'll happily not see any more and just watch the movie, because even the Batman stuff was amazing, but part of me was thinking, I don't want to see
this
now.
We'd like to see it in the actual context.
You know, I want to be surprised by some of the action scene and the fights that he has with Superman.
I do like the line that you've grown too old to die young, not through want of trying. Some good lines. And I like the idea that he's been doing this for decades, presumably.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And we're all on board with Batfleck.
Yes. Yeah, I think, like, perversely, like, this is still I said this when we did, like, our look forward to 2016, like, back in, like, December. This is still the superhero film, the comic book film that I'm most looking forward to this year, because I just don't know what it's going to be or anything like that.
In spite of the fact that Anthony Mackie told me that Civil War is the best Marvel movie ever.
Yeah.
I mean, he happens to be in it, so I don't know if he's even slightly biased.
Whoa, can we trust this guy?
He's Falcon, of course we can.
Let's do it, because we like bets, but we often don't keep track of the actual details of said bets.
Right.
How long do you reckon this movie's going to be in minutes?
Ooh.
I'm going to go 172.
What's that?
Just short of 3 hours. That's 2 hours, 52 minutes.
I'm going to go... 2 hours 45 minutes.
Well, what's that in numbers?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll convert it. That is 165.
Well, that's what I went as soon as you said it.
Did you?
158.
158. Okay.
158.
I'll fun bet for the listeners. Numbers.
Play along at home.
Come on now. I'm trying to check. It's a little bit funnier. I'll write these down and remember them.
It's a lot of fun.
It's just a bit of a laugh.
What are you most excited about? Like, comic book wise, what are you most excited about? Which film?
Well, having just before we recorded this, seen the Daredevil season 2
right, yeah.
trailer, maybe that. You know, I think of them now as just really long films.
Would you reckon the running time of Daredevil season 2?
Well, that's the weird thing on Netflix. Each episode is like,
they do what they want on it.
They do what they want.
They haven't got, this week it's an hour.
They haven't
next
got
week
Corey
it's 40
banging
minutes.
Up against the back of it.
but that's almost got me as excited as any of the movies.
Imagine if you turn on Netflix on a Sunday once and it's like, oh, snooker.
I think we were both excited about Doctor Strange when we did this on the superhero show.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's wanting to see something different.
I
don't know that any of the other films will be sufficiently different to what's gone before. Maybe Suicide Squad, but even then I'm just getting the vibe that I've seen this kind of thing before.
The pictures of Doctor Strange is something very different.
Mm. That's good.
Like, even using genres that are not even that common in Hollywood. Anyway.
Yeah. Awesome. That's brilliant.
Cool. Moving along.
Chris, you set me up on a date this weekend.
Yeah, my mum had nothing on, so...
it was Valentine's Day?
No, I did. I have waxed lyrical about the movie Bone Tomahawk since I saw it at Fantastic Fest last year. And it's still not out in the UK, but there was a special Valentine's Day screening, which I got you tickets for, because
that's right.
I can think of no more perfect way to see in the holiday of love than by watching cannibals eating human beings.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know anything about the film going in, and I thought, well, I haven't got to do anything for work for this, so I'm going to not watch the trailer either. And you had mentioned a couple of times, I've just seen the trailer with Kurt Russell looking pretty much exactly like he does in Hateful Eight. So I thought, I'm bang up for this. Took my girlfriend along to see it on Valentine's Day. And it starts off, like, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it goes in pretty...
Are you going to not spoil it? Like, you said you weren't going to spoil Making a Murderer and then proceeded
apparently
to...
Apparently I did, yeah. I don't remember.
Do you know about this?
No.
He said on a podcast a few weeks ago, straight after Christmas, oh, I'm not going to... No spoilers about Making a Murderer. A minute later, spoil Making a Murderer.
Why would you do that?
I didn't mean to do it. But, yeah, I'm very sorry if I spoiled
it. So what happens at the end of Bone Tomahawk?
But it goes in a very, very, very strange way. But... may not be the best date film, but it is a brilliant film.
Mm.
Like, I was so impressed with it. It's so good.
It's two or three films in one, really.
Yeah.
It's got some of the best performances you'll see this year. And, it, you know, a horror Western doesn't sound like that would be the case.
No.
But it's as good as Kurt Russell has ever been.
Absolutely.
Richard Jenkins is the one I said to you. Watch
out
for
him. Yeah, he's amazing.
We both said that...
Matthew Fox,
who is not always the most likable presence on screen... He's really well cast.
Yeah.
Patrick Wilson, who we're in love with because of Fargo season 2.
But also, he's also doing something a little bit different as well, Patrick Wilson, is because he's not kind of not playing that, you know, sort of hard ass with a heart of gold that he generally does. Like, he's actually playing like quite like a God-fearing character, but not annoyingly so, which I really liked about it. But yeah, as you said, like, Richard Jenkins is just fantastic.
And it's one of those films that has the balls to spend a lot of time with the characters interacting with each other before stuff goes down. And so you really grow to care about them and like them. And even if they took the horror stuff away from it, it would still be a really engaging drama.
For him,
I think. But then the troglodytes show up.
Yeah,
that's what he calls them, isn't it? The troglodytes.
Yeah. And it's kind of like it really reminds me of the X-Files episode Home. It's kind of that kind of like really sinister. Anything can happen. These people, they can't be trusted because they're not regular humans. So they'll just do anything, and because of that, absolutely terrifying as well.
Yeah.
But I just love some of the best scenes are just them sitting around chatting, mostly like Richard Jenkins just saying really really funny stuff.
Yeah.
But like some of the dialogue is just brilliant. Like up there properly, like Tarantino-esque chats around a campfire.
And it's a debut as well.
Yeah, I can't believe
it's his first movie.
That's
it's such an assured debut. And also, without going into any details, it has the best kill you will see in a film this year. That is my guarantee, although I've not seen every film that's come out this year because it's February.
Yeah.
But I said it last year, and I think it was... the best kill I saw, and I really like the best horror podcast around is one called Killer POV.
Okay.
And they pretty much, they said the same at the end, and they watch every single horror film that, you know, even the most hardcore horror films didn't have as shocking or as effective a kill as one particular one. So
yeah, I think it's out this weekend, like in the UK. So if you're a girl, you want to take your boyfriend along, or if you're a boy, you want to take your girlfriend along, or if you want to take any of those permutations along.
Is Gav being sexist? I'm trying to work out.
No, yeah. I'm covering everything.
Okay.
But I think trying too hard.
I think horror is the best thing for
Or if you're a girl and you want to take your girlfriend, if you're a boy, you want to take your boyfriend.
That's what I said, all those permutations.
Okay.
Everything. Under our rainbow umbrella.
I just explicitly said them, rather than just...
What did you do to Valentine's Day, Daniel?
What did I do? I sat in my pyjamas. I ate some cherry Spider-Man gummy sweets. And played The Witness for 7 hours.
The Witness.
Yeah, that's what I did. It wasn't romantic, but it made me happy.
Yep.
That's all that matters.
Very, very good.
Yeah. The Spider-Man gummy sweets came in a box that was heart-shaped and looked like Spider-Man's head.
Aww.
So it was like I was eating his brains.
Was the game based on the Harrison Ford movie from 1985?
It was, yeah. I was just like a barn.
Yeah. You built the barn.
I built the barn. You had
sex in the barn.
I was really good at playing it. Some people say it was my best performance, but it's not... There's not a lot to it.
No.
You know.
Is there anything else you've been playing?
Much like this joke. Yeah. Also been playing Firewatch.
Firewatch.
We've been talking about Firewatch for ages. We actually had Ollie Moss, who was the art director for the game and did some work on the story design as well, on the show like 2 years ago, maybe?
A long time ago now.
Where he was talking about this project when it was first announced. Mm-hmm. The game is now finished. It's now out there. IGN's reviewed it. We gave it a 9.3, said it was amazing.
Yeah.
And it is a pretty incredible game. It's a really story-driven, atmospheric, character-driven game. Has some of the best acting in a video game I've ever experienced. Some incredible voice acting from the two main characters. It's got a really compelling story as well. I think it would have made a really great... Some other people say this. Make a great little novella. It's a really interesting story. Mm. And it just shows you how much story drives it forward. But... We've been discussing about this, and again, we're not going to go into spoilers.
Okay,
but we were talking about how some of our... Can we have this conversation without going into spoilers?
I think so.
Do you think?
Yeah, because the thing that we were talking about is basically how it feels like the good bits of Lost, where, you know, early days of Lost, where you'd be watching episodes, and as soon as an episode finished, you'd just be theorizing, "Oh well, what did this mean? Mm. What is actually going on? What is this tiny thing that a character said? What does this one noise mean?" All these different things. I felt like I played this through with my girlfriend, like in two sit-ins, and we were doing the same thing, like, "What is going on?" Like, you know, kind of theorizing all these different amazing things that we thought was actually going on in the story. Turns out, 80% time we were wrong, but it was still fun to do that. And I think that's one of the things that I loved about Lost, was doing all that every week. It was actually almost became better than the actual show at one point. But this game is still pretty good to the end, I think. Kind of slightly disappointed, I think, but that's only because we'd come up with all these crazy different ideas that could have been what was going on, and it wasn't.
So you did it in two sittings?
Two sittings, yeah.
I did it all in like one sitting. How long did it take you?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe like 4 or 5 hours, something like that.
Yeah, I did it about 4 hours on a Saturday night. I just played it all the way through because I knew it was going to be away last week, and I really wanted to play it because I didn't want it spoiled for me. And it was about 4 hours, and it was really compelling. There were certain points where I thought, actually, I think you'd be more satisfied if I took a break, went away, and allow it like kind of to percolate and ferment and like, you know, to theorize. But I was so into it, I had to keep on playing it to find out what happened at the end. And you should definitely check it out, Chris, if you're interested. We could play it. I'll get it on the PC. Like, performances are brilliant.
Yeah.
I want to. Yeah. I want to. Where are you guys up to with Lost?
Babies are a big thing. This series.
I'm literally watching an episode every couple of days.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on season 5.
Like, have you never seen it before?
I've dipped in and out of it. I've watched it and then taken a 2-year break.
Amazing.
And then watched the series and taken a 2-year break. Series 5 is really bad. And I'm really like, I just wanted to.
What is series 5?
I can't. Is that flash forwards back?
Yeah, no, it's that going on. well, it's everything. Like, I just don't really care. It's some of the newer characters, we're finding out some of their backstories. Okay, right. I don't really care about them. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Lost, the fact that I'm 10 years behind on Lost.
No.
Oh, no, I think that's exactly why we're here. But you can get to the end.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting, though, watching it vaguely knowing what the ending will be.
Right.
Because everyone else watched it with high hopes for the ending, whereas I know roughly what it is, and either way I know it's disappointed the majority of people. So I'm coming at it from a slightly different direction in that my hopes aren't that high.
Yeah.
And I think everyone else was like, it's going to be amazing.
Like, to get back to Firewatch, or anything that creates an air of mystery and invites speculation,
yeah,
you're also inviting that danger of disappointment, because people are allowed to go off and build it to such an impossible level of expectation that the reality, no matter how good it can be, precludes, like you're saying, 90% of other possibilities.
Well, yeah.
So therefore, that is disappointing, because that interpretive space where there's so many possibilities jockeying for supremacy is fun. It's like when we do Rewind Theatres, it could be mean this, it could mean this.
Yeah.
When you watch the film, you know exactly what it is. Yeah. You know that Aquaman isn't in it for 80%.
Yeah.
You know that this character doesn't turn up. So I think it's...
David Lindelof's the king of that as well, I find, with his writing. Great setups, and this just fails with the payoff.
Yeah.
I think that, the only, I guess with Lost, the only thing with that is all the ideas that people had, or all these, different theories, were probably better than what actually went down in it. Whereas in Firewatch, I was kind of disappointed with one particular strand of the storyline, but I wasn't disappointed overall.
Well, I think that does better compared to, something like Lost. Lost, there's a massive inequality between setups and payoff.
Yeah.
And the more things you set up that aren't resolved, the more that you think you feel shortchanged. Where a lot of the stuff is placed intentionally in Firewatch.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an idea for the way something was going to finish, or the way something was going? It didn't go that way.
Lost.
But yours was a better idea.
Lost. Absolutely, mine was a better idea. We can still make it now. We still. And all these people, I keep tabs on them on IMDb. They're not doing anything. We can get them all back in the room. We've got a green screen here. Yeah. Again, I know you're not finished it. But my resolution all hinged around my favourite character, Desmond.
Okay.
And I really thought he was going to be...
Oh, I hate Desmond.
You hate Desmond?
Well, I do, brother. I do, brother.
Have you seen... Do you not like the episode The Constant?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I just think
you did something incredibly weird with that character. You singled him out as a very special character.
Yeah.
And for him not to be more integral was weird.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, I had the same thing. I had the thing with Avatar, where I was watching it 100%. I think I've talked this on the podcast before, possibly.
You have, yeah.
Yeah. But I was 100% convinced that they'd managed, the Giovanni Ribisi was in the tribe already, and he wasn't. So it's just rubbish.
I think I said that Kevin Smith had a really good one for Blue Jasmine.
Okay.
Where he was convinced that one of the characters didn't exist and was in Cate Blanchett's head. Because also she's not well in the head for the movie, but you don't find out till later on. And he said it was just spoilt the film for him totally, because he thought he'd had it figured out, and then it was a really good movie. And then when it wasn't, he just didn't think it was as good a movie. But it's quite funny thinking you've come up with a better idea than Woody Allen did. <Yeah. laughs> He said he felt stupid afterwards. But it spoilt the film because he just thought he'd seen something else.
Yeah.
I think that happens with a lot of films where you think, all because of The Sixth Sense. Spoiler alert. I feel like a lot of characters might be dead when I watch films, and they're not.
He's dead.
Not. Every time you go, he's wearing the same clothes for 2 weeks.
Certainly with any M. Night Shyamalan film.
Yeah. It's like in Spooks, I thought he was dead. He was wearing the same clothes even when he came in for the interview.
Classic kit.
I've been watching something that we sort of tipped right at the end of Making a Murderer as a thing that was coming up that people could sort of use to scratch that sort of real crime itch, and it's starting this week in the UK.
You're having trouble scratching your real crime itch.
And it's American Crime Story, The People versus OJ Simpson. So this is kind of like a spin-off of American Horror Story, but all about real crimes, and it's all about the OJ Simpson sort of trial and how that sort of came about, and all the events leads up to that. I'm thinking about itching now. It's utter trash, but I love it. It's like every scene, Cuba Gooding Jr. is completely unhinged. I know what OJ Simpson looks and sounds like, and Cuba Gooding Jr. No, he's just doing Cuba Gooding Jr. And he's obviously just been told, do whatever you want. Like, absolutely. Because he's just completely, he's not in control at all. He's screaming 1 minute, the next minute, like, there's like a slow-mo shot of him like walking into like a funeral home with like sunglasses on, looking really cool. It's bonkers. Like, it's all over the place. Like, then you've got David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian, and he's brilliant, but he does one face, which is kind of like concerned friend look. And
well, that's what Ross did as well.
Yeah, he's exactly.
He's got
that.
A hangdog face.
Yeah,
that don't look has it. So, what do you want from this role? Like a concerned friend, you say? I got the guy.
And he's just like,
didn't talk to you.
He like over emotes like everything. And obviously he's the father of these Kardashian kids that have gone like obviously really, really famous now, and those kids are in it. But anytime those kids are in it, they make a really big deal of him. That you'll be like,
they don't need to do that.
Like, Kim Kardashians are running around and you'll be like, Kimmy Kardashian.
Oh god.
There's a bit weird.
They really don't need to be part of that story. I was quite old when that story was happening. I remember it well. There was no mention of children. There was no mention of the Kardashian children. I barely heard his name. His name came up, but there were other legal people that were much better known. Johnny Cochran and Marsha Clark.
Yeah, they've obviously been like pushed to the top because of like obviously their standing. Selma Blair's playing the whatever her name is, Chris Kardashian, the mum. And this is like one of the worst scenes I've seen on telly, possibly one of the worst lines I've seen on telly this year. There's a bit where Connie Britton, who's playing a real life person who she looks nothing like, is standing next to Chris Kardashian, and Robert Kardashian just about to walk in. Connie Britton just leans into Chris Kardashian and goes, "There's your ex." Because like, obviously there's been so much stuff going on that you might be a little bit confused, even though they've got the same name.
Yeah. In terms of like something about being confused by names.
Yeah.
Can you explain how you were confused by what they were calling OJ?
Oh my god.
Because they kept calling him drink.
No, juice.
Juice.
His name is OJ Simpson. They kept calling him juice, and it took me to like in the middle of the second episode. And my girlfriend went, "I've just got why they're calling him juice." And she listened to me. She's like,
"You know that line about the ex? That's aimed at people."
Yeah,
like,
that's aimed at me.
Like, but is it like knowingly ridiculous? Because like American Horror Story is intentionally hysterical at times.
And Ryan Murphy's really good at doing stuff like that. Yeah. So I think it must kind of be because it's really tabloid and it's really slick. But at the same time, you've got that kind of thing where you're feeling bad because you're like, oh god, this is a real story. So because it's so trashy, and it's right up there with like Desperate Housewives in that kind of sense, but a little bit more slick.
Has Kato Kaelin showed up?
No.
Okay, I'm excited for that. And okay. Judge Ito?
No.
These are all the characters I remember
from
the time.
Oh, he's a big fan. Yeah. Big fan of the original.
Bloody remakes.
I remember David Letterman. Like Judge Ito was the judge, and he was this little Japanese guy.
Yeah.
And he looked quite funny. And I remember David Letterman had the Judge Ito dancers would come on with all these dancers with like masks.
Oh my god. Could do that back then.
Yeah. The one good thing that's really anchoring it at the moment... Sarah Paulson is playing Marsha Clark, and she's actually genuinely really, really good. But she kind of anchors it because then you've got like John Travolta, Robert Shapiro, who again is just allowed to do whatever he wants. But all this stuff is real. Apparently.
This guy, he's doing whatever he wants. It's not even he's not even doing lines. Yeah. He's just sat there.
And do you know what channel it's on in the UK?
It's on BBC.
Okay, yeah. I think it starts this week.
It does, yeah.
Also, Vinyl starts this week.
It does.
We haven't watched it yet because it hasn't actually aired until before recording this. But we'll know what we think of that. I saw a lot of people tweeting that it was a bit boring in the States. Yeah,
lots of people said that about Boardwalk Empire, though.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. You can't
same
judge.
People,
but yeah, that's obviously Mick Jagger and Martin Scorsese and the Boardwalk Empire people.
Yeah.
Also, Better Call Saul's back this week.
Is it?
Yep. And I have watched episode one. And it's good. It's good. It's not.
Watch the first.
It's not an amazing episode. It's more of the same. But you feel like they're kind of setting things up for Jimmy to go off the deep end.
Yeah.
Now they're going to start, and they've said that stuff's going to happen this series that's going to be much darker.
Yeah.
And getting nearer, closer to what the kind of things that happen in Breaking Bad. Which it took Breaking Bad a while to go to the really dark places, but.
I really like Better Call Saul, but I think because it's pretty much done in the exact kind of same tone and atmosphere of Breaking Bad, but I don't feel like it has the characters and the story to sort of back that up a lot of the time. Even though the stuff that happens is really interesting,
and again,
I'm just never compelled to watch the next one.
Well, again, it's that prequel kind of thing as well, which I think is a bit of a challenge. But, they could happily you know, sooner or later tell the future, you know, go into present day. And I've interviewed Aaron Paul last week and asked him if he's going to be in it, because he has been alluding to the fact that he's going to be in it. And he says, he said his answer said it was, I can't tell you if I'm in it or not, which suggests to me he's in it. Because if he wasn't in it, he'd say, no, I'm not.
Whereas,
or he just doesn't have a very good grasp of like what he's doing.
I think he didn't want. I think he just didn't want to lie. I think he didn't want to go. I think he didn't want to be on record saying.
No, he's in it.
I really do. Yeah. The way he was talking, I think he's in it. And so that will be really. That means that will have to be present day.
If you're not, what do you say? No, I'm not.
And just the fact that they started both series. This series starts the same as the last one, with black and white footage of him today in witness protection, or where he's in hiding. Like, why would they keep showing that unless they're going to tell some of that story? So that will be intriguing.
Yeah.
Right, what else have we got to talk about? We are going to Glasgow. I don't know if we've mentioned this on here, like, officially. It's all done and dusted. We will be in Glasgow on Wednesday, February the 24th, I think it is.
Yeah.
Doing a live podcast as part of the Glasgow Film Festival. So the tickets are available now.
Lads on tour, have you got your tour shirt? I got Shagger 69 on the back of mine. What are you having on yours?
I've got Shagger 69 on mine as well.
Jesus Christ, guys.
Look in the Google Doc for tour shirts.
I just dragged down on the column.
But yeah, we're hoping to see lots of friendly faces there. Obviously, not everyone can get to Glasgow, though, but we do want you to be a part of it. So our big discussion of the podcast is going to be us talking about our favourite video game movies, because although you might think there haven't been any, there have been a few good ones. Maybe not necessarily direct adaptations, but films, documentaries, films about video games, inspired by video games, in that universe. So we'd love for you to write in and tell us what some of your favourites are and why. Because I reckon I've made a list of about 12. I mean, some of them are quite loosely connected, but nevertheless.
Really loosely.
Nevertheless.
Somebody plays a video game in one scene. Yeah.
There's loads of good ones.
Yeah.
So, if you could write in, we'd greatly appreciate it, and we'll read them out on the pod. The address is
IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gav. And also, you can mention where you're at with Lost as well. Where are you up to with Lost?
Any theories on Lost?
I'm about episode 19 of series 5, so not long now.
Okay, it's that time of the week again for the game that they are calling Keyword Countdown. Krupa, this is your Keyword Countdown debut, right?
Yeah.
Right, Rory is steaming ahead by virtue of being on every podcast that since we started.
You're not going to enjoy this. I don't enjoy it.
Okay, all right. So, as always, can you guess the film from the bonkers IMDb keywords? First person to shout out.
Bonkers.
You can shout out as many times as you want.
Have we had any feedback from people where they're enjoying this bit of the show?
People really like it.
I mean, you say
you're
that,
not,
but
you're not on the email for
feedback.
I get
tweets from the tweets at me. People shouting, mostly shouting at Rory.
I think, aren't people mainly criticising you for the stuff you said about Deadpool on your tweets?
Also, stuff about how much they love Keyword Countdown.
All right, lots Keyword Countdown.
Here we go. First film. Frozen. Counterattack.
Cliffhanger.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Oh. Bloody hell. God, I was thinking it fast. He said Frozen as well, but I couldn't get it out quick enough.
Standing, Tilly.
Oh. Powerful start.
Oh. That's going to change everything in the league standings.
That swindled me.
Film number two. Paranoia.
Empire Strikes Back.
Rear Window.
Dog. Helicopter.
Eagle Eye.
Coors Beer.
Bond.
Bearded Man.
Home Alone.
Two-word title. Killing an Animal.
Oh.
Polar Research Station.
The Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Nice.
Oh, what a... Oh, Paranoia. Thing.
Nice. Third film. Violence.
History of violence.
Written by director. Hit with a cricket bat. Coach trip.
Kill list.
C word. Londoner.
Shaun of the Sexy Beast.
Smoke bomb. Self narration. Reference to Chelsea FC.
Lockstock.
Green Street.
Hooliganism.
The Firm.
Football Factory.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thought we were about that earlier. There we go.
Oh, I gave you some football hooligan films.
Yeah, it was good.
You knew what you were getting.
Just not the right one.
Nine points for Empire Strikes Back. That's gonna
lovely jubbly.
It's good. Here we go. It's all to pay for, Krupa.
You could get this.
What's the prize at the end of the year?
Don't know. I forgot.
That's what year is it?
Here we go. Film number four. Torso cut in half.
Girl with dragon tattoo.
Senator. Sexual tension.
Girl with the pearl earring.
Brother-sister relationship. Prisoner. Death of a son. Slave. Decapitation.
The Silence of the Lambs.
Ancient Rome.
Gladiator.
Yeah.
You know what threw us there? Senator.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking Washington.
Thinking about the modern application, not his historical origin.
Well, I wasn't, obviously, because I got it. I was immediately like, well, this has to be. Well, could it be ancient Greece?
Yeah.
11-4 at the moment for this week. 2-2 in film guesses, though. So,
okay.
Who knows what that means? I don't. Film number 5.
Just make it stop.
Investigation.
X-Files.
Road accident. Isolated community.
Village.
Hills Have Eyes.
Wood chopping.
Wrong Turn.
Fargo.
Punched in the face. Axe.
Severed.
Mouth sewn shut.
Ooh. 7.
Hallucination. Secret society. Ritual murder.
Lower. Da Vinci Code.
No. It's the Wicker Man.
Oh no, don't.
Oh, the new one.
Don't say that to me. Don't tell me that.
Is there a Wicker Man so unshut in the original? Is there?
Yeah.
Whose?
I don't know. It's on the keywords.
Don't tell me I didn't get the Wicker Man.
Yeah,
that's the modern one. What was it? Car crash.
It's the original. It's the original one.
Road accident.
I went off IMDb. Argue with them. Tilly, you are the victor this week. 2 guesses. 11-4 to Tilly this week.
Oh.
Excellent.
Shell shot.
Should we do some feedback?
Yes.
So you were talking about things that you like but everyone else doesn't, or vice versa, actually.
Things that we hate that everyone loves.
Yeah. So Anthony Clegg's written in with a very strange one.
Okay.
He says, not willing to judge you, Anthony, but I am. Mine has to be Reservoir Dogs. I like most of Tarantino's films, but I've tried 3 times with this and just been bored every time. I'm flabbergasted. I just don't know what to say. But, you know, each to their own.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how you've not been able to get through that film.
It's really short as well.
Yeah.
Compared to his later films, at least.
I need more explanation, Anthony, as to why it's boring. Because I think it moves really quickly.
Yeah, something happens, like, constantly, innit? It's like, yeah.
Email back in.
Yeah, but not a fan.
On the same subject, Ryan Morton wrote in the context of the tie, I have to say that I'm a little like Mr. Powers, Rory, that I don't really hate things. That's really good. But I will say that I'm completely confused over the love that Jaws, Rocky, and Back to the Future get, as all, to me, are rather poor films. As are Breaking Bad, True Detective, and The Simpsons in the TV world.
What's this guy called?
Lot. Ryan Morton.
I'll put this in because it feels like it opens. I don't hate things. It feels like he's been bottling up a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I read that email when it got sent in. Part of me felt like we were getting trolled, if I'm honest. I felt like someone has just literally done that to wind me up.
Yeah. But the only thing that makes me suggest that hadn't is The Simpsons, because that's an odd one, because nobody likes The Simpsons anymore. So if he's going for something that people like, I would say the new Simpsons are universally hated by people.
Well, also season 2 of True Detective.
Yeah.
To be fair, I know one person that likes it a lot, but I don't know anyone else.
So I don't know.
Weird. Like, again, I need more explanation there. You can't just say Back to the Future and Jaws are bad.
It's a poor film. It's a poor film, mate.
I need more, Ryan. Like, how can you not like Back to the Future? Some more on that front. David Trevino has written in and says, something that everyone loved but I did not was Inside Out. I think this is a very good one, actually. Mm. Everyone told me how awesome it was before and after, but I was extremely disappointed in it and really didn't like it. All I could think was that little girl was kind of a brat. Could be I have 2 boys and could not relate. I know where you're coming from with that.
I didn't like it.
It only really got me at the end. But the bratishness, that's the thing. That's what kind of got to me, was that I is remembering what I was like when you in that confusing time between childhood and adulthood, where you are acting like a brat or you are arguing with your parents and you don't know why. I couldn't understand why. And it's just growing pains, and
yeah,
it's It kind of got me. It was just that bit where she starts crying really got me.
Are you saying that's a bad thing from a viewer? Because it sounds like it captures that perfectly.
But I could see why that could annoy you. If you're not, you know, you don't see anything yourself in that character and just find her annoying. And, you know, she's quite a difficult, temperamental kid.
I didn't like it because I loved everything until... Amy Poehler's character leaves the brain or leaves the mind or whatever and then goes on a little journey. Like, I was like, I was really enjoying it. But now you've taken that and now I'm having to deal with different people in different... I didn't realise that was the film.
Yeah.
I thought it was all going to be dealing with stuff in the real world.
It kind of settles back into the classic Pixar journey.
Exactly,
story where...
I thought it was really cheap.
I could have enjoyed more scenes where it's kind of intercutting between reality
which
and
the brain, which is the best bit.
I don't know how that plays for an entire movie, but I could have liked to see more of it.
Yeah.
But I can totally see how people wouldn't love that movie.
Yeah.
You wanted more from Little Singing Volcano.
Mm.
I really didn't like that short.
I can't remember it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The fact that you can't remember, you know which one I mean, don't you, Chris? Little Volcano Singing in the Ocean.
Is that the short?
Yeah.
I didn't see it because I saw it on a plane, so I haven't.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like it at all.
Have you seen the short that played before The Good Dinosaur?
I saw it at a screening.
It's pretty
Super
cool.
Team.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty interesting one.
Sanjay's Super Team.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's up for best short at the animated short at the Oscars. Actually,
yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
I don't think it'll win because there's another one I like, but interesting.
Right. So I've not been on this podcast for a while, and in my absence, somebody thought it was good to ask our listeners to write in with suggestions of Doctor Who episodes they want to watch.
Yeah.
So many emails. I've never seen so many emails.
Really?
So I obviously can't read them all. Thank you for the people who sent in suggestions. I'm just going to have to tear through some quickly. So we've got... this is from Yusuf. He says, if you want Eccleston, you want to go Dalek.
I do
Tenet,
not want Eccleston.
New Earth. Matt Smith, The 11th Hour. Peter Capaldi, Deep Breath.
Ooh, that's good.
Matthew Lorigan also says Dalek. And then pretty much everyone else is saying Blink.
Mm.
That is the one that's consistent across everyone's piece of feedback. Is Blink is the episode that you want to watch? Have you seen that?
No, it's the Stone Angels thing. Yeah.
That is uniformly celebrated as the best.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I have seen that. I've not seen that many recent Doctor Who episodes.
Like it though. Mm.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
It is really effective. But also, this one caught my eye as well for you, Gav. In season 7, there's an episode called Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
Excellent.
Mm.
I'll start with that one.
I felt like that one didn't deliver. Because I've edited all our reviews, so although I've not watched a lot of Doctor Who, I've read a lot about it, and I'm sure that one didn't really deliver. Like, it was a better idea than...
Awesome.
In theory rather than in practice. But anyway, are we doing more feedback?
Yeah, I've got another one. This one says, Magnesium Series Manufacturer. Hi, we are Magnesium Oxide Manufacturer. Our main products are Magnesium Oxide, Magnesium Hydroxide, Magnesium Carbonate. Product meet USP/BP. Please check. Best regards, Ann Chen.
I feel like we might have just done an advert rather than...
I think that's a really good email.
No, this is about last week's when we were talking about...
Magnesium.
Best use of magnesium in films.
When we did top 6 magnesium compounds of 2015. Yeah. It's a good list. It's not what I would have suggested.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite good. Final email this week is from friend of the show, Stuart Kirkham. I think you talked a lot about cinema etiquette again on the show. There was a lot of emails about that last week.
Yeah, you got upset about someone.
Oh, 2 weeks ago, yeah.
A guy called Rob or something.
That was 3 weeks ago.
A lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Stuart's written in, he saw Deadpool this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, where I found myself besieged by the usual idiots. A couple of talkers were dealt with early doors by staring at them and issuing a firm shut up. Amateur stuff, really, but then things got complicated. And this is where I think he's looking towards you, Gav, specifically for advice. 5 minutes later... Till he's not gonna like this. 5 minutes later, I smelt the first fart.
Oh no.
I say first because it's continued intermittently throughout the entire movie. If I had the option of seeing it another time during the weekend, I probably would have complained and got a refund. And if all the best seats were already taken, I would have moved seats. Instead, I buckled down and sat through it.
I don't know what you can do about that.
What would Gav do?
I don't know what you can do about that because I think that's a problem that... What can you do? You can't have a ghost and you don't know where it's come from.
Hard to identify.
Exactly. You don't know where it's come from. And I think, you know, they might have a problem with their insides or something like that. I can't help that one, buddy.
I think someone else wrote in as well about talking about the talk, people thinking that it's unacceptable to talk, but is acceptable to use your phone.
Yeah.
So, And that's it. You know, I talk about the Anime Draft House Cinema just because it's the best I've been to. And their policy is very simple. They say, keep your phone silent and dark.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need to know.
It's not hard.
Silent and dark.
It's not hard.
And yet people will agree with one, but you get kicked out of that cinema if your phone lights up.
I just turn my phone off.
Yeah. It's not hard to have your phone off for 2 hours.
It would annoy me if it was like vibrating even.
Yeah. I almost like it because it is, sometimes when you're at home watching stuff, it is too easy to look at your phone. Yeah. It's quite nice to sit in a dark room for 2 hours and concentrate on one thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You get really invested in what you're watching if it's good.
Before we finish, is there something that everyone loved but you didn't, Daniel?
Oh, God. Put me on the spot there. I used to really like the Spider-Man video games, and they were kind of uniformly received as trash.
Not the first and second, though.
These are not great games.
He's done it in reverse.
Mm. Not great games, though.
Maybe we should do that as a topic, something that you loved but everyone else hated.
Yeah.
I think mine is Game of Thrones at the moment.
You hate it, but everyone loves it.
Well, I don't hate it, but...
You can't get into it.
But you'll say you hate it for the headline.
I will.
For
the headline. Why I hate Game of Thrones.
Yeah, good.
Maybe we'll switch it up a bit. But great stuff. Well, keep the emails coming. We love to read what you guys have to say. The address, as we said before, is IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. And on that bombshell, anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And as ever, keep it tuned to IGN.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.